Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And this is a morning show for us here today, Matt.
Yeah, switching it up.
Kind of rushing around here. And the reason we're on this morning is because Omar Khan will speak this afternoon. Of course, I'll be writing that for Steelers.com.
You guys have quite the puzzle to put together of who's going to be on the air, where, and who has to be at the podium, and who has to be with Omar. And so we did a Blitz for Drive straight-up trade, basically.
Yes, and
they won that.
I think they did. You know, they've won at life, but and here we are. Trying to get signed into the I was a little late getting here.
Scattering a little bit.
I'm going to pull back the curtain here a little bit. So, I've got a blister on my foot that might be the most painful blister I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, right.
And let me tell you,
I felt bad for you walking to dinner last night. It seemed like that's when it started to really peak up.
Yeah. That's when I had taken my shoe off when we went back to the hotel. And I was writing my stories and stuff for yesterday.
After our 4 o'clock show.
I knew there was something wrong in there. It was hurting. It was sore. Mm-hmm. And then I took my shoe and my sock off, and I'm like, oh, my.
That was outstanding.
Mess there.
And, you know, so I started working on it a little bit, and it just made it worse.
How's today?
Not good.
We did a lot of walking last night.
Not good. Not good at all. Yeah. But I am here. I'll persevere, and I now have some band-aids that I can put on it.
You were questionable there for a minute, but I think you're game time decision.
I was rushing around trying to make sure. I'm on the air the next 4 hours.
Oh, right. You don't have any downtime.
That takes us through lunchtime.
Okay. I'm on.
So I also have to get something to eat here before we.
It could be a challenge here, to be very honest with you.
No doubt. No doubt.
Sandwich here and there or whatever.
Yeah, no doubt. But.
Gentlemen. Different environment here now.
We're going to start having some measurements, all that kind of stuff. They should be coming out here. Yeah, because they did those this morning.
We're in the books.
Yeah. And we'll see what. I'm trying to get signed on. Well, combine. Okay. I'm now connected. There we go. Now I can actually know what's going on. Because I didn't have any time to look this morning about what's going on, other than the fact that Bill Hillgrove. My good friend is retiring.
Yeah, maybe we should.
After 30 years, with
unbelievable
the
run, great guy,
tremendous firm. You know, I can't say enough good about Bill Hillgrove. He just and Jerry Dulac and I will have him on in the 12 o'clock hour today to talk about his retirement after 30 years as the voice of the Steelers.
I mean, that's amazing.
I always joke with him. I said, "You're the voice of God."
Yeah.
You get on the tram at the airport.
Oh,
and you're
he can't across, go anywhere.
And there's Bill's voice on there. Mm-hmm. I've gone out with him, you know, just walking around the different cities that we go to and stuff, and everybody recognizes Bill. And if they don't recognize Bill,
as soon as he speaks,
as soon as he speaks, they know. They know.
I know that voice.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
A classy guy. When you watch him interact with fans on the road, that's when he's humble, he's engaging with everybody, and I've tried to use that as my guideline.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't get recognized nearly as much as him, but you try to be gracious with people, no matter the circumstance, and he is that.
Yeah.
And just a tremendous person, and gonna miss him on the road. I really am.
I mean, true Pittsburgh legend. Like a Stan Saver.
Yeah. I mean, he might be on the
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore.
The Mount Washington Rushmore. I mean, honestly, honestly, I'm 50 years old, and he's pretty much what I remember.
Don't tempt Laura. You can absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, 30 years with the Steelers, it's been even longer as the voice of Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's the passing of an era.
I'm wondering if this segment is sponsored by Happy Place.
Always a good time with them, of course. Amazing.
Just a genuine human being.
Big news.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. And I'm going to miss him greatly on the road. He is one of a kind and just a great person.
Wish him the best.
Yeah. And I haven't had a chance. I didn't want to text him this morning or anything like that.
I actually texted
him last night while we were out. Before I didn't say anything to me. I'm gonna yell at him a little bit about this. But
we got news last night that it was coming down the pike,
basically. Yeah. That's the way it goes. So you had a little news there when I sat down. And you said there was.
It's not official from what I've been gathering. I keep checking my phone here. It's a little after 10 a.m. But like Vegas odds went crazy. You can't make any money with Justin Fields.
No,
going
I saw
to
it
Atlanta.
As an extra.
Sounds like he's going to be a Falcon, but the compensation is not yet been
decided.
What's going on? So and then between the break, I'm going to dig in more, see what they gave up. I think it makes sense. I mean, I think Atlanta was kind of in a tough spot. I mean, Ritter's not the guy.
It's
an Arthur Smith thing, too, but they've pretty much gone 3 years in a row with, like, the least accurate quarterbacks in the league. Now, Fields doesn't fix that part, but at least he's a better football player than end-of-career Matt Ryan, Mariota, Ritter. Heineke, I think, was the backup, right?
Yeah.
He got in there some too because Ritter just got benched. So they've had bad quarterbacks.
It's actually really easy.
New coach, new system. I don't know if they're
going to
be running a Rams-like offense. I mean, I don't know that he's a McVay-type quarterback, but still, he's definitely a playmaker. It's his hometown in a dome. Speed factor, I think, is something that's real. They now
apparently
have
four
legit playmakers on offense.
That's
offensive line.
Yeah, that's the big thing for them.
And frankly, I hope he does well there. It seems like it would but I'm not brokenhearted from a Steelers standpoint that he's not coming to
the level at this moment.
I mean, we'll see what the compensation is. I doubt it's like a fourth round pick. I think the Steelers are in a better shape. Not going down to that.
By the way, happy leap day.
That's leap day.
It's leap day.
Yeah, that's a fun thing, isn't it? Yeah. Happy leap day to all.
I just didn't realize that. It's February 29th.
It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. Once every 4 years.
It isn't a random thing.
You know? No, it is not. The
common or something.
No, the Caesarian calendar.
Yeah.
This is how it works. So Justin Fields doesn't look like he will be his day. I didn't think it was going to happen.
I didn't either. I'm sure you kick the tires and you have that discussion inside the building.
Oh, yeah. You always talk about those things, but that doesn't mean that you act upon it.
No. I mean, I can't wait to see the compensation, but let's just say it's a straight-up Falcons second-round pick. Well, the Steelers would have had to give up their second and more to beat that.
Yeah, and the kicker because the Falcons are picking eighth.
Yeah, they have to have a better pick. I'm not giving up one.
Right.
You know, yeah. So we'll see what it comes in at. But I think the price tag would really prohibit you from addressing other teams.
Well, the thing is, when you get two teams involved in these kind of things, that's when the price starts getting driven up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then they counter with a second and therefore.
Yeah, and then now you're, you could give us your second, third.
Second and next year second or whatever.
No, until you reach, I'll call. I'm done. I'm going to fold.
I'm done, and again, you would get them for $5 million this year, you get them for $22 million next year. The money's not crazy, but it would prohibit you to do some things in free agency a little bit. And certainly that second round pick is really sets up well for a corner.
If you do, make sure that
all these guys that we're talking about this week, you're not going to get a couple of them. You're not going to get to fill those needs. And I just don't know that he makes you a better football team. I know a lot of Steeler fans want him. Because you look at the yardage that he's run for and you look at the touchdowns he's produced, and certainly they are better than what Kenny Pickett has put up all these first two seasons. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, no question about it.
But he's also has five times as many turnovers.
It's remarkable. I mean, the fumbles are really high. The interceptions are high.
The sacks that he takes.
God.
Yeah. He takes 3.5 sacks a game over the course of his career.
Wow. He's one year behind terrible offensive line. Now, could his good outweigh his bad? Of course.
Yeah. I mean, he's allowed to get better. Yeah, I understand
course.
That.
Of course. And I'm rooting for him. I mean, that should be a really fun team.
Oh, I am too. I mean, I loved him coming out in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just there's certain issues that he has that haven't gotten better.
Right. And we see the effect of offensive turnovers on the Steelers.
See, and now maybe this is just
the way they're equipped.
When I keep hearing you say do something, they might not make you do something. You know,
so if he's making a lot of mistakes,
you're basically punting on Kenny Pickett.
And I'm going to
like you're saying he's done.
I can't imagine that coming from make that trade and say it's and a straight out battle team.
Right.
And he loses. He still loses that fight.
Because the problem, they're going to run completely different offenses.
It's not apples. No, and they both move well.
We're just sitting in the simulation where we can do a drop and a paycheck.
Quarterback design.
Quadruple it up, maybe you save your paycheck and put it on one first
and
half.
Kenny's in there, you can't short the best under.
Player. We'd be having a great afternoon. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with quarterback here in Pittsburgh, but there will be moves. I don't think it's going to be fueled by all accounts this morning. The internet's buzzing, but it's not official. So we shall see. I mean, those are the big things going on.
So tomorrow kicks off March.
Yes.
This should be March, but since it's leap day, we're not in March yet. And March 13th marks the start of free agency.
It's amazing how quick that happens. Like combine.
So basically 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today. So we'll actually start hearing some rumors, but the league's pretty good about the tampering period and stuff like that. Not too much leaks anymore. So 2 weeks from now, probably the Steelers will have a new guy, you know, or two. You know, and I'm sure there's going to be some roster reconstruction in the meantime.
I'm
sure today we'll see 5 or 6 more from around the league, and teams are getting cap compliant.
Starting to get some heights and weights.
Good, that's what I've been trying to
see before. Here. The file is up here that I'm looking at, but they haven't
quite plugged them in yet.
No, they get the names in there.
They've taken
the reservation.
Right.
They haven't kept.
Yes,
they haven't held the reservation on that one.
But they've all been done. You know, as we're recording this, every linebacker, D lineman, edge, they've all been height and weighted. I don't know why it took this long. I've been in Indy for 3 days.
Has it only been 3 days? It seems like it's been about 12.
Gerard is sitting
here. He got here Sunday. And we've had, we'll hear from Omar Khan today.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of one of the big reasons why a lot of people came.
Exactly.
From Pittsburgh.
A lot of people driving from Pittsburgh media. Put a little wrench in their plan, obviously, but
yeah, and it's understandable. I mean, he had a family a situation that he had to deal with, and that's the way it goes. So we're going to get to our first break here.
Okay.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live at the NFL Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis. We will be back. We're taking you all the way through 12 today, and then Matt will bump out, and Jerry Dulac will hop in here with Max Starks. And we got more guests. We got pretty big guests here coming up.
Second hour,
We get Cynthia Freeland joining us here, the
NFL.com,
NFL.com analyst.
Keep my eyes peeled too for whoever else is walking around, wet around too.
This is the nice thing. So we've been in that 2-4 slot.
The place is a lot calmer.
By the time you get to that time. Because all the interviews are done in the morning,
right?
Everybody's gone.
There's people not looming around. Yeah.
But now that we're in this earlier window here,
Thursday, because workouts happen, this place is always quieter than Wednesday, Tuesday.
Yeah, there's not as many. I mean, even if you look at the tables around here, there's a lot of people already packed up and gone home.
There's just fewer bodies in this building.
Yeah, we'll see what we can get.
Though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to get to a break now. You're listening to Steelers Nation Radio and Fox Sports Pittsburgh. We'll be back with more from the Combine right after this.
is continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Combine, live from Indianapolis on Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. We were having some technical issues there. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to drop out of that earlier segment a little quicker than we typically do. I think we got them fixed.
Sounds like we got them fixed. I got a bunch of tweets that they were able to hear the folks next door here at the Titans table, but not me.
So. Must have been some we couldn't hear them at all.
They were invading our lands, and I wasn't holding up the border very well.
We won the second half here and forced them to.
We made a halftime adjustment.
Yeah.
The walls are fortified.
Yeah. We are live from the NFL Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis. We are jammed in here a little bit, as with all the other teams and stuff. So that's why you do have some of that cross-pollination when it comes to those things. But you can also watch the video on YouTube if you want to see the show.
Yeah, the drives are all on YouTube.
We suggest you go ahead and do that as well. That'll be up later today. And, Matt, I wanted to talk about one player here today that was on the podium yesterday, and that's Darius Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big defensive end from Missouri. And he's a guy that, 6'5", 286 pounds.
Long, great build. Right.
Looks like Adonis.
Yeah.
Has played inside. Has played out on the edge. There's a lot of value there.
I'm trying to find a good player comp in my mind. Maybe an Eric Armstead, something like that.
Cam Jordan, maybe?
Cam Jordan's a good one. Yeah, Jordan's had a great career doing those things. You know, like, he's a big base DN for them. The Saints like big D linemen with size and length, but he also kicks inside and causes problems with quickness as well as power. DeForest Buckner does some of those things. Yeah. He's a little bigger than those guys. But yeah, I mean,
even like Calais Campbell to a certain degree. Not quite as big as Calais.
But... Yeah, Campbell's really an outlier in terms of his height, you know, but still used the same way. I think that's a good comparison too. So those guys can have a lot of success in this league. I wonder how every defense kind of looks at them differently. Like, is he a base end on early downs or, running situations? Doesn't matter the down and distance necessarily. And an inside guy. So how many snaps do we play him? Maybe all. I mean,
maybe he never comes off the field because I could play him at defensive tackle. I could play him at end. I could, he can be my rush guy. I could even kick him outside and let him play the edge.
Yeah, stunts and loops and things like that too. I think he could probably even stand up as a huge edge, like you mentioned. They do that with like Chris Jones and some of those guys. Used to do it with Namakong Su a lot. So no, I think he's interesting, and if he performs in the next level or early in the next level like he did at the Senior Bowl, he's not going to leave the field very much.
I mean,
he was really, really hard to block and powerful, explosive. So I think he's an interesting guy. Today will be big for him, as it will for all, but it's not a great defensive front draft, and he may end up in the first round.
And he's a different – we were talking about the Murphys and the Tavondre Sweats and the guys like that yesterday. He really fits the what you're looking from a Steelers standpoint is a 3-4 end.
Yeah, I would think so too. More than those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Sweat's an obvious nose.
Yeah. He looks more like Cam Hayward than he does Casey Hampton.
Right. Where the guys that are projected in the first round, you mentioned, Newton as well as Murphy are both
6'1".
Atkins explode upfield. And sure, the Steelers would like to have those guys, and I think they're more apt to employ a guy like that than the LeBeau years or whatever, where you had to be this big to ride the ride. But it's not really the prototype they want. I mean, they want length, they want height, physicality. There aren't going to be many defensive linemen on this team or, quote, defensive ends that are under 6'4".
Yeah, I mean, it's just you like to have that length because they're wrestling with the tackles a lot of times in some of those situations. Or you're double teaming. Or you're getting double teamed, I should say, and taking on a guard in the center or the tackle, the guard, you're asked to do a lot more in this defense as a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Than you are in some others where it's just get up the field.
Chris Jenkins is another one. I want to see what his height and weight is.
Yeah.
I don't know that he'll be as tall or as long as Robinson. And he's a little different than his dad. His dad was such a power player.
Yeah.
Like, he would never line up outside the guards, but Jenkins from Michigan is supposed to be a phenomenal tester. This could be a good day for him that maybe he starts getting some buzz early round two in that neighborhood, or maybe the Steelers would look at him as, I can't pass this guy up in the second round. So there are a couple of defensive linemen that I'm warming up to, including sweat. Including sweat.
So on the podium yesterday, Penn State edge rusher Chop Robinson. We haven't talked a lot of edge rushers because really, quite frankly, the Steelers aren't going to be in that market.
Not early in the draft.
Yeah. he said it, he weighed in at 255 pounds, according to him.
That's actually good.
Yeah. He said his goal is to run a 4.4 40-yard dash, a broad jump of 11 feet.
11.
And to go 38 to 40 inches in the vertical.
Okay. I mean, from what I understand about how he tested it his Penn State career, that's not crazy talk. And he's obviously been.
He's not going to throw those numbers out there unless he's actually done them in his workouts.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah.
The thing I'm actually most interested with him is his 10-yard split. Because if you watch all those edges in this class, his get-off is probably the best of all of them.
Yeah.
And again, he's not going to be a Steeler, folks. I mean, I'm sure there's some Penn State fans out there going, well, I'd love to have him. Yeah, I get it. But one thing I've really noticed about Steelers scouting edge dives, including Watt and Highsmith, their 10 times are really good, and their get-off times for – actually, Cynthia Freeland is one of the people that measures that stuff at the NFL level. The Steelers are always at the top of the league at best get-off off the edge, and I think Robinson has a chance to be the best one in this class that way.
Yeah, and that obviously has extreme value.
Sure.
So – if you're a Steeler fan, you're watching this draft, you want Chop Robinson to do well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And push himself
maybe
up.
Maybe he's in the top 19.
Yeah, push himself up because edge rushers are valued.
Yep, and it's funny, this edge class, because Latu from UCLA, probably this won't be his best show.
He's not going to test super well.
And he's hoping he doesn't have any medical issues because he's actually retired at some point medically. I don't think Verse is going to be an extreme tester.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everyone knows that coming in, you know, that let's go back to the tape on these guys. Let's not overreact to a so-so combine. But Robinson has a chance to fight with those guys if he shows way better than them here to be the first one off the board. We just know that's how things go.
Yeah, and everybody needs edge rushers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, unless you're in the situation like the Steelers where you've got your two starters and you just drafted one last year that's promising. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I don't have the draft order in front of me, but like – where the Falcons pick, the Bears second one, I think you could start seeing edge guys fall there and plenty of spots in between Denver, you know. So the Dolphins just moved on from Ogba. They could use another one too. They have a ton of needs though. So there's a lot of landing spots for edge guys basically from 8 or 9, 9 to 19. And if three of them would fall there, that would be tremendous for the Steelers.
Yeah. Here's a little thing I didn't know. So Junior Colson, the linebacker from Michigan, was born and raised in Haiti.
Okay.
And lost a number of his family in a earthquake there in 2010.
Oh, really?
Was adopted by an American family out of an orphanage in Port-au-Prince. Comes here and might be the best linebacker, off-ball linebacker. He's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation.
As the best off-ball linebacker in the draft.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the coolest things about the draft. And you know, like Dane Brugler, who we haven't got a chance to talk to yet, you know, he puts out the beast and he puts out all the background on these guys and all their different paths. But there's always, I don't know, 20, 25 stories of hardship or coming from not knowing what football was till late in life and things like
last
that.
Last year was the twins from Illinois that were the.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I remember Tamba Hali back then. I mean, like, there's a lot, just so many of them where. How they got here is amazing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's one of the things I get a chance and opportunity to do for Steelers.com as well that I really enjoy is digging into the backgrounds on some of these guys. So, you know, you learn some things about them. You know, in fact, you mentioned the Falcons quarterback, the backup.
Mariota, Ritter, Heinicke.
Heinicke.
Yeah, okay.
Taylor Heinicke. I'm working on a story on – I got a couple irons in the fire on stories that I'm working on. And I'm talking to the head football coach at Duquesne. I'm working on a Christian Kuntz story. Christian Kuntz had an interception against Taylor Heinicke in college.
That's kind of bizarre. Like, I remember we were talking about this at the Watering Hole the other night.
Turned it for a touchdown.
But I didn't realize how good of an athlete Kuntz was or what he did other than long snapping throughout his career.
He's still the all-time leading sacker
sack leader in Duquesne history
with 30. It's a lot of sacks.
It's a lot. Awful lot of sacks. And I was thinking about that too. Like, what if they had two or three edge injuries? Is he your emergency edge guy on game day?
I don't know if he would be at this point, but yeah.
They should give him a rep or two in camp
because the whole long snapping thing is pretty important now too.
You don't want him
to get hurt doing that.
100%.
Because some of your backups might be some of the edge rushers that he is replacing.
I mean, the more I think about it, I'm sure of the 32 edge rushers out or the long snappers out there, a lot of them have pretty good football backgrounds.
At some point, you didn't come into it.
You were tight end. From the time you were in
seventh grade, I want to be a long snapper.
And if you're a good enough athlete to be in the pros, then I'm sure the head coach wasn't like, you're not just going to long snap, son. You know, you're doing other stuff. Yeah.
So, that's just one of those little backstories that you learn Connor Hayward's, I told you this one, Connor Hayward's youth football quarterback was Davis Mills.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. And there's a safety in this draft from Utah. There's actually two.
Yeah.
But the one from his.
Sione Vaike.
He's played a lot of slot receiver, a ton of running back. He's coming out as a safety, but he was Najee Harris's blocking back in high school. And a lot of these guys intersect, and a lot of their backgrounds are very cool. And we'll get a lot more of these stories, I'm sure, like Golson coming out. You know, you're up on the podium, and people start bringing it up and start really digging into their background. Like, Dane does an unbelievable job.
I was talking – I was over there when Cedric Gray was talking yesterday.
This is crazy. Talking about
the Troy Polamalu. Yes, Troy Polamalu is 43 on his on his forum because that was his favorite player.
He's
23 years old or 21 years old, like – does he really remember Troy playing a lot? But,
it wasn't that long ago, was it? I mean,
Troy retired in 2011, 14. So maybe, I guess that's 10 years ago.
Kid and, right.
But to
Troy definitely
to make
out.
That kind of impact, he wasn't getting a tattoo at 11.
No, I would think not. Probably not. Right.
But
I bet the Steelers took notice of that conversation too.
And I'm sure when he met with them, which he did, that would be a dream come true. I was a huge Troy Polamalu fan. Look at the tattoo.
Didn't just get it the day he got drafted.
Because he didn't wear 43 in college. He wore 33.
Okay.
So.
Interesting. But he would actually fit him quite well, too.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he moves around well. I mean, he's not Troy, but, I mean, he's an off-the-ball space player with some explosive traits as well.
I think he had 7 interceptions in college.
I say he's productive, too. Yeah, yeah.
Some sacks, a bunch of tackles. Mm-hmm.
I think he'll have a good day today, too.
Yeah, I think he's
a good tester and change direction stuff should be good for him. A little built lower to the ground. I mean, he's not one of these real long guys. He doesn't look like Terrell Edmonds, those type of guys.
Yeah,
Jermaine Edmonds.
Does that matter? Do you look... They have to be – you can't be super short.
Mm-hmm.
But does it matter as much now as it used to?
In some ways more to me. Depending on scheme, if you're super zone heavy, I think just you disrupt throwing lanes more with your length. Just a wingspan, it doesn't seem like much. It's like, boy, his wingspan's 2 inches longer. That's a lot when you're trying to throw a football into a tight window that's tight to begin with. And I also think because the tight ends are so good in this league, there's times where the stumpy, strong safety, Bob Sanders body type, he just gets out-rebounded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You look at it with Joey Porter.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things. Well, he's a 4-5 guy. Well, he's a 4-5 guy, but down the field, he plays more like a 4-4 guy because of the length.
Yeah. And Porter's a great example, but, a throw on the perimeter – you might have to throw the ball with different trajectory because of his length.
Yeah.
You might need to come down sharper as opposed to putting it on a line because he has so much tree trunks to get, tree branches to get around. Same thing is true. I mean, like you look at the Colts are a great example. Like all their linebackers have extreme length. There's some teams that only draft that way. Just because you play a ton of zone and the ball has to come out quick, well, those zones get a little tighter.
Yeah, we talked about that last year with Jack Campbell.
He's
6'3", 6'4". That makes a difference.
Absolutely makes a difference. So, but the shorter, very explosive runaround guys definitely have a role in this league still. Speed kills.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the thing, these guys, for example, the safety out of Miami, whose name is Williams, I think it is.
The one that's trying to play linebacker.
Yeah.
Too? Yeah.
6'5".
Yeah.
6'5" safety. Probably too big.
if you can't break down.
It's really difficult to turn and you know, run and drop your hips and those kind of things when you're 6'5".
I mean, we're at the combine, so I keep referencing, you know, how they'll work out on the field. But a guy like him, I guarantee every war room's going, I really want to see his shuttles. I want to see his three cones. Can he drop his hips and change directions? Or is he so upright that he sticks?
Does he fall over?
Yeah, right. Because if he's, you know, he's going to have to in the league without question.
Yeah, I can remember that being an issue when the Steelers selected Scott Shields back in the early 2000s.
I remember he was kind of a workout warrior, wasn't he?
99, actually, maybe. Yeah, I mean, you looked at him, you said, well, he's 6'4". But can he...
Can he
change directions?
Because inevitably, you are going to get stuck on a Welker, you know, or somebody that's just a pure quickness player, and they can tie you in knots.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not just dropping back and being long all the time.
No. So, when you look at the cornerback's position, what's too big for cornerback? Is it 6'2", 6'3", and I don't want – if he's 6'4", maybe he can't
– You'd start to worry, for sure. I mean, that's why these drills are important. I mean, is he going to – a lot of it's scheme. I mean, if you're just a cover three Sherman-type corner, you're much more apt to be able to handle those things. But the thing about that is, like, okay, yeah, we can handle – less change of direction in our scheme if we get more length or physicality or whatever we're looking for. But these offensive coordinators are so good at isolating your weaknesses. Yeah. You never just do one thing. You
and they're going to pick at it.
I mean, they're going to flood your zone with two or three receivers and make you choose. And, you know, so, I mean, that's why these coaches are so good.
You know? Yeah, I just, you know, I can remember a few years ago when we were, you know, waiting for DK Metcalf's straight line speed and everything was fantastic.
Fantastic.
And his workout was fantastic. You know, jumps out of the gym and he's, you know, all that stuff.
Anything straight line was historically good for
But the cornering was an issue. And so you wondered. Horrific. Yeah, you wondered if that would hold up in the NFL. Well, he's such a physical freak that you just throw the ball up to him down the field and let him go get it.
I mean, for people who don't remember, what you're referring to is his three-cone drill was worse than Tom Brady's. I mean, it really was. He was like a giant battleship that just went forward like a train on the tracks. But if in that case, the defense can't manipulate him like the offense, like the other way around.
Yeah,
like,
you can play to his strengths.
Right.
Whereas the defense is, you got to defend that.
Yeah. So he runs a lot of slants. He runs a lot of goes. You know, he's not a lot of double and triple moves and that type of thing. And he's also gotten better at it. Like him on the field now, if you study his tape, coming out of his breaks laterally is much better than his rookie year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he knew his weaknesses.
Guys get better.
Yeah, the guys allowed
to get better.
Right.
You know? And so in college, a lot of these guys aren't asked to, you know, you always hear about a lot of the receivers. Well, he needs to refine his route running. Well, why would that be? Well, they got by in their athleticism in college.
Oh, for sure. Or the schemed up, schemes, and they don't have as much practice time. Well, I mean, time to dedicate to their craft and things like that too. And sometimes their bodies are still maturing too. Their balance gets better. Their technique gets better, coaching, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you're right. There's not a lot of refined route runners coming out of school.
No, it just doesn't happen. No. I mean, and even if they are good route runners in college, they can still continue to get better at it at the NFL level.
I mean, the nuances of it, like, you know, Jerry Rice is obviously like the gold standard, but and I've seen studies of it where they'll show his stem, which is, you know, his until he makes his first break, looks the same no matter what route he runs. He doesn't tell it at all, you know. And then some of the guys are the opposite, where they'll give you this lean, like, oh, he's got a strong tendency. And then you bite, and then Devontae Adams snaps it back the other way, you know. So, I mean, it's devilish.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, with wide receivers necessarily, the 40 time – can be a little overrated for a wide receiver.
I think running back and wide receiver are the most overrated.
Keenan Allen's a 4.7 guy.
Yeah.
4.7.
Yeah. I don't even think like Antonio Brown ran a great 40.
No, Antonio Brown, I think, was like 4.51, something like that.
No. Larry didn't have a great 40. Jerry Rice didn't have a great 40. There's many, many instances of it.
Yeah. People very rarely catch them from behind, though.
Right. I mean, like Michael Thomas was super productive for 5 years in the league.
It was like 4.6 something.
Yeah, I think it was like a 4.61, something like that. But you know, people way overreact to 40 times for receivers
and
running backs.
The really speedy ones tend to not work out because they're just fast.
They're just fast. Yeah.
And John Ross has one of the best 40 times ever at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Never became anything.
Yeah. Real, real speed demons. There's not many of them that really hit.
Yeah. So when we start seeing some of these speeds and things of that nature, Chris Johnson's the outlier.
Yeah, he's one of the few that actually turned into a very, very good player.
But don't be enamored. Well, he was 4-2. This guy ran 4-2 or 4-3. Yeah, but can he play football?
I would rather my first-round corner ran a 4-2 than my first-round receiver or running back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It didn't really hold up with Jackson Smith and the jig build yet this last year, but he was ungodly in his three cone. And that, to me, is a more of a route running drill, you know, him coming out of your breaks, things like that.
And he'll get more nuanced the longer he's in the
league. Yeah, and
he got better as the season went on last year.
It wasn't a disappointment at all. Yeah. But, I mean, he'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to another break here. He is the Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live from the NFL Scouting Combine. This is day three for us here on this Thursday, on this leap day.
Leap day.
Leap day. We will always remember Leap Day 2023, 2024, 2024.
Right? 24.
Yeah, I got to figure out what day it is. We are here. We're going to hopefully at some point here during the show, we start getting some heights and weights coming in on some of these guys. We can kind of react to those online.
That's what I'd like to really dig into.
Yeah, because I'm super interested in what some of these guys. You
know, do we know what time drills start today?
I think they're
3:00.
In the afternoon, so we'll have to react to those tomorrow. But
so I set my DVR at home, and I was thinking it was like 3 to 6, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll get to that though later here, or
probably tomorrow.
A little more tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we're gonna get to a break now. We'll be back with more here on Steelers Nation Radio and Fox Sports Pittsburgh.
Live from the 2024 NFL Combine. This is Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. We are live at the NFL Scouting Combine. Matt, in that previous segment, we were talking linebacker a little bit there. We've talked linebacker a lot.
More and more.
Yeah. Looking here, Bill Barnwell's a piece on free agency.
Oh, okay.
Stacking some of the free agent linebackers here.
Yeah, let's talk about
them. Available. And
it's okay.
You know, it's okay. And so you're going to have to weigh if you're the Steelers you're going to add at least one.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Because, you know, Quan Alexander is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
You
really have two you can count on right now. One of them's injury situation.
Yeah.
Is precarious.
Cole Holcomb's situation is what it is.
And Robinson's going to be in camp.
Yeah. So you have to weigh whether you want to fill that in free agency or whether you want to try to fill that in the draft.
Yeah. Let's go through it, though, because I do like, as is the case with every year, when I start looking at draft stuff, I start looking at the Steelers' biggest needs first. But now I've gotten, we have gotten more into some of the linebackers that are going to be working out today, and I'm liking that group more and more. It's day two guys.
Day two guys. Day two,
right.
Later.
But you do want to knock some needs out before the draft. I mean, you can't go into the draft with five positions. You have to draft with three picks.
So he has nobody as a franchise type
linebacker
available.
I don't think Patrick Queen's a franchise type quarterback.
He has him in tier two, and the only guy in tier two is a Pro Bowl caliber starter. And I don't even know if I would put him there because we've seen him be Robin.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen him be Batman.
Right.
And whoever signs him is going to sign him to be Batman.
I think he's got high potential. I mean, he's a really athletic first-round pick, and we always talk about it takes those guys a while, and he's a perfect example of that. And I do think having Roquan there boosted him a great deal, but he'd be a risky guy to sign because he's going to be expensive. I mean, I bet he's $15 million a year, and there's bust potential there.
I'm betting right here on February
20th. Leap day.
Leap day, February 29th, that he is a Seattle Seahawk.
I think so, too, which is a perfect way to bring in your defensive general, quarterback.
You're going to make all the play calls. You know the defense. You're going to teach it to everybody else.
Yep, and another guy on this list from Seattle, Brooks, is up for free agency. To them, I mean, if you're Seattle, I wouldn't mind a little overpay there. You know, new head coach. I think he's worth more to them than most teams. I'm certain he won't be a Raven.
Yeah, they can't.
And they drafted Simpson last year with this in mind.
His tier three guys, and he's looking at an average salary projection of $16 to $18 million for Patrick Queen.
Ooh, I just said 15, and I'm probably a little light.
Yeah. So, but tier three guys,
maybe I'd start considering this year. Maybe.
Yeah. Jordan Brooks, the aforementioned Jordan Brooks,
former first round pick. He might be hitting his stride at the right time.
Right.
It's better to buy these guys now than suffer through those first couple
this
of years.
This is the interesting thing about this. So on this his list of capable starters here, you've got a bunch of the older guys.
Like Levante David the 30, and Wagner.
The 30-plus guys.
Yeah.
And then you've got some of those higher-rated, some guys who are high draft picks who haven't quite flourished yet.
Hopefully their best days are ahead of them.
So
the high upside.
Brooks is one of the younger guys.
Okay.
Then you got Levante David.
So we should probably have this conversation.
I mean, he wants to be a Buccaneer.
I know he wants to be a Buck. And Wagner's the other one I'm sure is going to come up. But a lot of these guys want to just play for Coach Tomlin. I mean, and I don't want to get old on defense, but a one-year deal doesn't mean you're old on defense. I mean, just rent them for a year, you know?
And they don't have – the injury history with those guys isn't
– no. I mean, it's –
they've been pretty durable.
Yeah, they're Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Willie Gay with the Chiefs.
Interesting. I would probably like his teammate better for the cost because I think Gay is going to be – we'll get to the prices, but I'm guessing he's nine. It's a little pricey.
Yeah, it depends on, you know, if it turns into how many teams want him.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Hicks with the Vikings.
Interesting, but I don't know that it's a big upgrade.
Yeah. Josie Jewell with the Broncos.
Very solid. I mean, like, he's not a good tester. He's, you know, he lives off his mind and his eyes. But you can count on him.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good player.
Frankie Louvo with the Panthers.
I really like him. I mean, he's an ascending guy. He's more of a downhill player, though, than a, you know, playing space, playing reverse guy. But he has a really good year for the Panthers. Like, there's a couple of Panthers defenders that are a lot better football players than people realize. They're just always on the field.
Yeah. Andrew Van Ginkle with the Dolphins.
He's more of an edge, typical, like, Ninkovich guy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think the Steelers
but those
are
guys are – you can move them around a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He can drop off the ball.
Yeah. Devin White, who's more of a name than he is a player at this point.
I mean, there's a number I would give him, and hopefully he hits his stride at the right time, but I bet that number's not enough to secure him.
He hasn't hit it yet. I mean, he was the fifth overall pick for the Buccaneers, and they're not going to have him back.
No, he won't be back.
I mean, he got benched late in the year.
Yes, yes. He's been in and out of the lineup.
And then Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, I still think he has it, but this last year was a little worrisome.
He's not Batman anymore.
No,
but he can be a solid piece.
I mean, this probably won't apply to the Steelers, but he would be the perfect guy to be Levante David's Devin White mentor.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like if there was a high pick or, you know, that's still learning the ropes or whoever the first linebacker off the board was last year, you know, go pair him with Bobby Wagner, who's an all-time great, really.
Yeah. And there's his annual projected salary for that group of guys is between $7 and $10 million a year.
Who would you take if you had to have one of those?
If I had to...
I'd take Louvu. But he's probably 10, not
he's
7.
He's probably in the 10 side of that. I think Willie Gay fills a lot of...
Interesting. He's probably the best athlete you mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an extreme tester here.
Very good tester.
You see him flying around.
And he may just be hitting his stride here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's not a bad one.
Still young enough that there's some upside there.
I mean, if his agent called the Steelers and said, you want Willie for 2 years, $15 million with a nice bonus... Yeah, we could probably talk. Yeah,
Think about it. The tier four guys, which are borderline starters, high end backups.
I think there's I haven't seen the list, but I bet there's three or four names here that would fit the bill.
The first one is Azeez Al-Shaair.
I think he's better than that description.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these guys in this tier will be better than that description.
Yeah.
I would be very interested in him.
Yeah. Anthony Jennings of the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, he's more of a thumper.
He is more of a borderline guy. Denzel Perryman, same thing.
He's been in the league a long time, too, and is a little athletically limited.
And Sione Takitaki of the Browns.
Hmm.
He's got an injury history that's...
Al-Shaair should be in the tier above there. Yeah, he's much better than these guys.
Some possible cap casualties he lists on.
Did they list the price tag for that tier?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, these are all still in the same tier, the cap casualty guy.
Devondre Campbell. Of the Packers.
I'd have to study what he did this past year, but he's a long middle-of-the-field defender. I assume he's on here because they signed him to too big a deal 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then they drafted Walker out of Georgia in the first round. He looks like a pretty good player.
Cole Holcomb is on this list. I don't know if I see that happening unless...
Unless the injury makes you do it.
Yeah.
And that's the first I've heard that.
Yeah. And then Eric Kendricks of the Chargers.
He's bounced around a little, but he's had a really good career.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was out there... And Chargers have to cut everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's a reflection on Kendricks as much as the Chargers are just in a nasty situation.
And the average annual salary projection for that group of guys is $3 to $5 million. If I can get Al Shear
at five,
I mean, sign me up.
I do. Yeah.
Sign me up.
2 years at 9.5. Yeah. I'm in on that.
Yeah. Yep. I'd be good with that.
Yep.
The tier five
guys. Not a bad place to shop. Yeah.
These are backups not likely to net guaranteed money. In that one, you got Cody Barton, Devin Bush, Zach Cunningham, Terrell Dodson.
Ooh, I would take Dodson.
I would take Dodson out of that. Shaq Leonard, Kenneth Murray. Would you take a shot on Kenneth Murray? Another highly drafted guy that
he's never shown good eyes.
He just hasn't.
No, but I mean, he's a highly drafted guy that
there are traits.
And I guess that's why he phrases it that way. That wouldn't be guaranteed money. Like you could sign him and maybe even cut him.
Yeah,
I mean, like he might not even make the team.
Yeah. Isaiah Simmons, kind of the same thing.
He intrigues me.
Yeah.
I mean, just get him in here and see what happens.
See what he can do.
I mean, he was a free safety.
Because you didn't draft him. The pressure is off. The pressure was on the Cardinals to figure out what to do with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Giants gave up like a 7th-round pick for him just to eat his salary this year.
Drew Tranquil.
That one I'm interested in. He would play here.
Yeah. Anthony Walker of the Browns and Mac Wilson of the Patriots.
Okay. Tranquil would certainly excite me. There was another name on there.
Dodson.
Dodson. Yeah. I don't think he belongs there. I think Dodson's an ascending.
He should be an
impressive player. Yeah. I'd probably give Dodson $3 or $4 million a year.
And then backups likely to earn roster spots. Actually, the average salary for those guys is $1.5 to $3 million.
I mean, if you could get either one of those two at three or.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd give Isaiah Simmons 1.5.
Yeah.
Just to see what happens.
And then this last group is the backups likely to earn roster spots. Juan Alexander. We'll see where he's at in terms of his recovery. Oren Burks with the 49ers. Kamu Gruger-Hill of the Panthers. Malik Harrison of the Ravens. Nicholas Morrow of the Eagles. Khalik Hudson of the Commanders. Josh Woods of the Cardinals. And then some couple of restricted free agents. Jack Gibbons of the Titans. Christian Rosenbloom of the Rams.
Okay. I mean, frankly, I can't speak super intelligently on that entire group, but they all better be special teamers.
Yeah, they're 1 year, you know, veteran minimum type guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're shopping in if you go the free agent route as opposed to the draft.
And I bet there's a couple other cap casualties not mentioned still. Yeah. But I was thinking there was a name for Cashman. I think is a free agent from the Blake Cashman went to Minnesota. I thought he was up and he didn't get listed there because I thought him and Tranquil to me are pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to get to another break. That's going to do it for hour number one of The Drive here, live from the NFL Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with hour number two of The Drive right after this.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.